It's good to have you guys back in Brooklyn. Again, I'm excited because this week we're going to get back to our Zoom midweek services. I'm excited because I get to continue what I'm going to be talking about this morning on Wednesday night. Again, it's encouraging to look out. I know some people are out of town because of Labor Day weekend. That's okay. People are taking advantage of the Monday off. My wife and I just came back from Africa. That's my mother-in-law, Mrs. Susan Matano. She's 90 years old. She looks like she's 75. She still has a wit. He's all over the place, and I'm very thankful that we're able to go. She was very encouraged by us being there, all the family gathered. I'll show you more pictures on Wednesday night when, you know, it's going to be sharper as you watch on the screen. We had a tremendous time in Kenya. I also had a chance to visit one of our churches. In northern Nigeria. I've been a Christian now 38 years. And I experienced something that I'd never experienced before in my life on this trip. On the Sunday when I spoke, driving into where they meet for church, there were three armed guards with machine guns. And I asked the evangelists, what's going on here? He said, Uncle Richard, Boko Haram is operating in this area. Boko Haram is a terrorist organization that has terrorized the northern part of Nigeria for many, many, many years. Several years ago, some of you may have read about an incident where they went into this boarding school and they kidnapped a bunch of girls and took them into the forest. That's Boko Haram. And so because of those guys, they have armed guards before you even get to the place where they meet. I'd never seen that before in my life. So pray for your brothers and sisters in northern Nigeria. But it was so encouraging to be with them. And so, I want to talk this morning about waiting on God. Amen? This goes into some of the stuff we've even sang about this morning. I love that song we started out with. I didn't even know we were going to be doing it. I have a firm foundation. Because you and I, we've based our lives on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Amen? And as a result, he will never let us down. He won't. He can't. It's not possible. Let us pray. Our Father who is in heaven, the great and awesome God, thank you so much for waking us up this morning. Thank you that we can see, we can hear, we can feel. Our Father, I want to especially pray for those of us who are sick, who are at home right now, and listening via Zoom and YouTube. I pray you would be with every single person, that you will heal them. Be with us now as we look into your word, Father. Come and encourage us. Help us to think about the words that we're reading this morning. And continue to trust you like we've never been before. Because we know that you will never let us down. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice for us on the cross. We ask and we pray all this in the mighty and holy name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And so I want to start off by asking, why would God make us wait? Why would God make us wait? Let me start by stating the obvious. There are so many passages in the Bible that actually says that. For example, in Psalm 27, verse 14. God says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. He says it twice in this short passage. Also in Psalm 33, verse 20, he says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Amen. Notice, it doesn't say wait for other people. It doesn't say wait for your husband. Wait for your wife. It doesn't even say wait for your boss. It says wait for the Lord. Amen. When God tells us to wait, he's trying to teach us something. He's trying to tell us something. You and I live in a world that is so much in a hurry. Our world has gotten so busy that we need a schedule for our schedule. Life has become so busy because we still have 24 hours in a day. And as we go through life, God tells us to wait for him, to wait on him. You know, these devices we now call cell phones and smartphones, and I've said it before, but I'll say it again this morning. There is more computing power in that little gadget that you're holding onto right now, that you're even taking notes on, than there was on the computer that they used to land them the first man on the moon. That's amazing to me. In terms of the power that we now have in these little devices. Now, the problem with that is because of those little devices, we have so much information coming at us every single day. Everything is instant now. But we got to learn to wait on the Lord. Because unlike a smartphone, God doesn't operate that way. You don't press a button, and all of a sudden, boom, there's the answer. It doesn't work that way with the Lord. You guys are very quiet. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. And so God will make you and I wait. Because it's not a smartphone. It's not a computer. And the cool thing that I love about this is because God is the smartest person in the universe. He knows everything. And so, when he tells us to wait, that tells me there is something he knows that I don't know. And if I'm smart, I would wait on him and not try to figure it out. Amen? In Psalm 37, excuse me. Psalm 37, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. That's a guarantee from the Almighty. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Can I get an amen? You see, these are scriptures that you and I need to be meditating on and really thinking about. If I'm being very honest, the last several months has been very anxious for me as we're about to have elections in a few months. I've been fretting. And so I've had to get on my knees. Because God knows what is about to happen. Are you listening to me? God is not afraid. My Bible tells me that there is no authority except the authority instituted by God. And so I'm not afraid. You and I should not be afraid. We need to wait on the Lord. He already knows the outcome. He knows who's going to be governor. Who knows who's going to be senator? Who knows who's going to get into the House of Rep? He already knows who's going to be president. Amen? And so I'm not gonna worry myself about this. If we learn to wait patiently for the Lord. I still remember where I was. It was on a Sunday afternoon, driving home from church, when I saw the news flash that President Biden decided, you know what, I'm not going to run for re-election. I just continued to pray. Amen? Yes, I've said it to you and I'll say it again. Come November, I think it's November 5th, you need to go vote. Okay? Democracy is not in the Bible. I'm sorry to disappoint you. But that's something that we need to do as Americans. Amen? So go vote. Now, I'm not going to tell you to go vote for, but you need to go vote. Amen? That's all there is to it. And vote your conscience. Amen? It's a civic duty. It's not a spiritual thing. It never was. Because you and I, we are in a theocracy. And God is king. Amen? And I'm glad we're in a theocracy. And I'm going to repeat again this morning. I am glad Jesus is not running for re-election. Because we Americans will vote him out. And so, come November, go vote. Amen? But we need to wait on the Lord. The Olympics just ended. The Paralympics is presently going on. My favorite event is the track and field. And I remember watching the 100 meters final. And I'd seen the semifinals and I'm like, boy, oh boy. This is Jamaican guy, I forget his name. If he has that kind of style, oh boy, he's going to win. And so like I always do, I got desperate and I started praying for Noah Lyles. And the gun went off. Noah was one of the last people out of the blocks. And I'm like, oh boy, oh, this race is over. And the thing went through. I mean, that's what I love about the 100 meters. Before you close your eyes, it's over. And at the end, I'm like, oh man, the Jamaican got it. And only to look at the screen, I mean, Noah won it because he leaned. That was it. And so I was very excited. I'm like, yeah, one down, three to go. Of two to go. Because I was also rooting for him for 200 meters, and I was rooting for him for the 4x100. But I share that to say, you know what? All the results of the Olympics, God already knew who was going to win gold, silver, and bronze. That is the God that you and I are calling on. And so we don't need to fret. We don't need to be afraid. Because he already knows the results. This life that you and I are living, we already know how this ends. You and I, because we're baptized disciples of Jesus Christ, we repented of our sins, we made Jesus Lord. As a result of that, and we're immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, we know exactly where we're going to end up when we leave this world. We know how this story ends. But you got to wait for that inheritance. This world is not heaven. It never was. This is not paradise. I'm glad this ain't paradise. Amen? But we got to wait for the Lord. Every single day you and I grow older on this earth is another day closer to heaven. That is the way I see life, and I celebrate birthdays that way. I turned 62 last Friday. It was very emotional for me, and I'll tell you why. I lost my mother when she was 57 years old. And then I lost my sister the day our stuff arrived here in New York 4 years ago at 61. And so for me, turning 62 was very emotional. I was thanking God because my sister and my mom never saw this age. But the way I look at it is, every day I celebrate on this earth is one day closer to my Creator. That is the way I see life. I love the fact that I'm getting older because I'm one day closer, I'm 1 year closer to my God. Can I get an amen? That is the way I see life. I'm not one of these guys that wants to live over here for 100 years. 100 years doing what? Have you read about what's on the other side? I can't wait. I'm looking forward to what's on the other side. But I got to wait for it. I got to wait for it, just like everybody else. I was rooting for that guy from Sweden, Duplantis. You know, he had won gold already. But he wants to set a new world record that he already set a few years ago. And he did it. It was awesome. I was also rooting for our sister, Sydney McLaughlin, Levron. I knew she was going to win gold. I was looking at the clock because I wanted her to set a new world record, which she did. Why is this doing this? Wait a second. No. Where's Sydney? What? Okay. There's your sister in Christ. New world record. I was looking at the clock the whole time. By the time they came to, you know, the last 100 meters, I mean, she was way ahead of everybody else. So I was just looking at the clock. And when she did, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Amen? But like everybody, I had to wait to see the results. Brothers and sisters, God already knows the results. God already knows what's going to happen to you tomorrow. He already knows what's going to happen to you next week. All that stuff you're praying about and you're begging him for, he already has a date when he's going to answer that prayer. But in the meantime, you've got to wait like everybody else. Amen? Abraham had to wait 25 years. Yeah, I'm pointing it there. This is towards the back of my lesson. Where's my slide that says Abraham waited for his promised son Isaac for 25 years? Here we go. 25 years. I don't know about you, that's a long time to be waiting for something. That's a very long time. I mean, you and I start reading about Abraham from chapters 12 to 21 in Genesis. How long is 25 years? That is over 9,000 mornings. You know, you and I read the Bible. We can read the Bible in one sitting. Those chapters I just mentioned, chapters 12 to 21. Abraham and Sarah lived those chapters day by day. Now, God didn't tell them how long they were going to wait for Isaac. He just promised that, you know what? I'm going to give you a son, and it's through him all nations will be blessed. Three times, we are told that God appeared to Abraham to reaffirm his word. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Genesis chapter 17, verse 16. And Genesis 18, 10. I'll repeat them. Genesis 15, 5, Genesis 17, 16, and Genesis 18, 10. Abraham's 70s turned into 80s. And then his 80s turned into 90s. And he still waited. As he moved from Haran to Canaan to Egypt and then back, he waited. As he grew older and his body weakened, and as Sarah's hair grew gray, he waited. Do you realize that God could have brought Isaac sooner? Or even could have given the promise much later? But he didn't do that. He made him wait for 25 years for a reason. And then one of the most amazing things that you and I read about in Genesis 22, after the kid was born and he's growing up, God says, you know what, I want you to take that boy, your only son, and I want you to go sacrifice him on a mountain I'm going to show you. And the man told us that, the Bible tells us, early the next morning, he got up, took his son, took some servants, and he was going to go do exactly what God said. That's amazing to me. Obviously, Isaac is a foreshadow of Jesus, because you know the story in Genesis 22. He bound him up. That was the son he waited for 25 years for. And he's going to sacrifice him and then burn him up. And Abraham believed that despite all that, God will bring the boy back to life. Where do you think his faith grew? It was during those 25 years of waiting that he learned that, you know what? When God says something, he's going to do it. I always joke around that in that account in Genesis 22, when God told him to go sacrifice his son, you'll notice he didn't tell Sarah what he was about to do. Because I don't think she would have taken that lightly. Hey, honey, I'm going to this mountain. God told me to go sacrifice. I said, you ain't taking my son. That is not happening. God, I also spoke to God yesterday. He didn't tell me anything about what you just said to me. That's one of the questions I want to ask Abraham when we get to the other side. I noticed you didn't tell your wife, Sarah, what you were about to do. Why did you do that? I think I know the reason, but I want to hear from you. Because if he had done it, I believe the scriptures would have told us. But it's not there in the account. But Abraham waited for 25 years. Brothers and sisters, there are three things not to do while you wait. Don't take matters into your own hands. You're going to mess it up. You got to trust God. The first time you prayed that prayer, the first time you cried out about whatever that issue is, he heard you. You just need to hang in there. And you need to persist in those prayers. Amen? And at the proper time, he will come through for you. He really will. Another thing you cannot do and you shouldn't do while you wait is doubt what God can do. We're talking about the most powerful being in the universe. The God who calls things that are not as though they were. Amen? Again, another thing we cannot do while we wait is don't put your trust in people over God. Can I get an amen on that one? When God tells me something, that settles it. If a human being tells me something contrary, guess who I'm going with? I'm going with God. Because he hasn't let me down yet. Amen? People will disappoint us. You cannot put people over God. You will get in trouble every single time. Amen? I love this from Tozer. You guys know I love me some Tozer. He says, the great test of faith is to wait on God, not expecting to push a button and get whatever we want now. He said this back in the 50s. This applies to us today. Now, Tozer is not God. I just like to quote him. He was a great preacher. He says, the great test of faith is to wait on God, not expecting to push a button and get whatever we want now. God is not a microwave. I'm sorry. He's more like a, what do you call those things? Conventional oven. It takes his time. You know, when you want to make a really nice roast or turkey, they will tell you to, you know, put the heat at 400 degrees for like 25 minutes before you put the meat in. And so there are a lot of prayers that you and I have sent up to heaven. In a lot of ways, you know, they're simmering. And the day is going to come when God will send his messengers to answer your prayers. But you've got to wait. You've got to wait. I was so encouraged on this trip. Here, Gordon and Ukeria Isekpere. They've been married for 23 years. Today is September 1st. Ukeria, the lady in the picture, she's turning 54 this month. They asked me to do their child dedication. And they came from the center aisles. You know, so I told the song leader, I said, can I start this one? So I started leading the singing, and then I gave it over to the song leader because I was so happy for them. I knew them when we led the Lagos church. He said, we waited 23 years and God finally answered our prayers. He went on to say, That's why our daughter is named Chizara, which means God answered me, in their language, in Igbo, which is where Nietzsche was from. Gordon's father, the husband, had 9 kids. He's got 8 siblings. His youngest sister's children are now in college. Obviously, he was very happy for his family, but it's like every time, every year, the pain in his heart, that, "Father, please give me a child of my own." God heard their prayer, and she was able to have that child through IVF at the age of 53. That's amazing to me. So I held that child, I prayed over her. And so I want to encourage you to continue to persist in prayer, just like Gordon and Ikeria did. The cool thing is, you are calling on the same God that they call on. The same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob. They waited 23 years. There was not a dry eye in the place as they were dancing, coming up, and giving thanks to God. I took that picture myself. You see, there's another passage that says this in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, 9. It says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." You see, you and I need to surrender and totally trust passages like this. It will keep us from taking matters into our own hands. A lot of times, while we're waiting, we're thinking, God has probably forgotten about me. Brothers and sisters, that is not possible. God hasn't forgotten about you. He heard you the first time, and he still hears you. You are God's child. How can he forget his child? It's not possible. Amen? Now, Satan lies to us that God doesn't care, that God has forgotten about you, that God has forsaken you. Quite the contrary. You had a brother this morning, as he shared from this pulpit. I was tears in my eyes. See what God has done in the last 12 months in Yolanda's life. Like I shared with you guys before, on that particular day, she wasn't going to come to church. She was, "I'm not feeling very well. I'm going to stay home." They were meant to be going on their anniversary trip to Europe that week. What if that aneurysm had happened on the plane? We're having a totally different conversation. But again, God, who sees the future, who knows all this stuff, says, "You know what? I got your back." That is the God that you and I call on every day, several times a day. So, brother, sister, God has not forgotten you. Scripture says he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's not that kind of a God. Yes, because we live in a fallen world, we're going to go through stuff in this life. Amen? We're going to go through stuff. That's just life in this fallen world. Amen? As I'm getting older, I'm also noticing something. I don't remember a lot of things anymore. My wife, on the contrary, man, she remembers everything. By the way, I want to say hello to our brother Martin. He's visiting from the church in England. You know, we were just talking before service started. He's originally from South Africa. And he says, "Oh, I remember you when you were in South Africa." Like, okay. He even said to me, "I remember something you said in one of your sermons." I was like, wow. I don't remember ever saying that, but he said I did, so, but he remembered. But Sarah remembers a lot of stuff. And so I'm always looking at her, now, okay, what's going on over here? What happened over here? Guys, it's gotten so bad that I'm watching a movie. I say, hey, let's watch this movie. And we're watching the movie. I'm 15 minutes into the movie. I'm like, wait a second. I think I've seen this. I don't remember ever watching it. But then, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, this is the movie where this happened. And okay, let's watch something else. But God remembers everything. God hasn't forgotten you. Amen? And so you need to hang in there. You need to continue to wait on him. I will continue this on Wednesday night. I'm just getting started. Here's another passage in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, 21. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen? It's okay for you and I to make plans. But scripture says it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. God's purpose for your life will eventually prevail. That's why you must continue to trust God no matter what. Amen? You're looking for a new job? Let me tell you something. The job God wants you to have that's going to be fulfilling, he heard you the first time. Now you need to continue to go on interviews. And if you need to learn how to, do better on these interviews in terms of when they ask you certain questions, what to say and how to respond. But God heard you. And so you need to continue to hang in there. I know a lot of our singles are not here this morning, but I know a lot of them want to get married. God heard you and continues to hear you. And in his own time, he will bring that person along. I love what Darren was saying last week as he preached. We can't turn dating into, okay, I'm looking for my spouse. It shouldn't be that. When did it get to that point? That was not the way it was when I was growing up in the kingdom. I saw it as, you know what, every Saturday, when I had money, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it was an opportunity for me to take God's daughters out and to encourage them and to show them a good time without sinning. To me, that was what dating was. Amen? And at some point, I stopped counting. And again, it doesn't have to cost money. I remember dates that we would go on and, we didn't even have money for ice cream. And so we'd say, you know what? Let's go out on a date and let's just invite people to church. But we're going to make it hard. Okay, I'm going to pick out the women that you need to invite to church and you pick out the guys I invite to church. And I remember I went out on a date with this sister. And a guy pulled up in a BMW. He said, go talk to that guy. I thought, oh, game on. And I went, reached out to the guy, invited him to church. And so what did I do? I looked around. I said, okay, you see that lady coming down? That's who you go talk to. She goes, okay, you got it. And it was awesome. We did that for like an hour and a half. It didn't cost any money. There were times we would just go out and maybe go into the park and all we could buy was ice cream. You know those guys with their ice cream trucks? That's all we had money for. It's okay. It doesn't have to cost money. All it is you are encouraging your brother. You are encouraging your sister. I remember after every date, the sisters would write a very encouraging card. I was like, wow. What are you doing next weekend? Because the encouragement I received was a whole lot more than I gave. Amen? But you got to wait on the Lord. Gordon and Carrie waited for 23 years for their daughter. And then God finally gave it to them. There were tears in my eyes as they were dancing, coming forward for the Thanksgiving. I was like, man, God is so good. He's a wonderful God. Amen? Even before that one, I heard another story of our sister Janet Okuyemi. Please let me advance my slide. General Kuyemi was in our region when we led the Lagos church. She's a professional photographer like our brother Peter Martinez. Wonderful lady. This is another miracle baby. This was the first one they told me. She's a wonderful sister. Very talented photographer. Like Okere, she could not conceive. Her husband left her for 7 years. You see, in my culture, if somebody cannot get pregnant, if a woman, your family will put pressure on you to go marry somebody else. That's just the way it is. They will actually put pressure on you to go marry somebody else. I remember as a young kid asking my mom one time, I had a talking to an uncle of mine who was an Anglican minister, because my uncle said, you know what, I'm not doing any weddings anymore when the wife is coming down the aisle and she's already pregnant. So, later on, I'm talking to my mom. I said, wait a second, what's that all about? I said, wait a second, doesn't scripture say you're not meant to sleep with somebody before you get married? My mother says, yeah, that's true. I said, so what is all this? You see the woman walking down the aisle and she's already pregnant. And I'll never forget what she said to me. She goes, the reason why that is because those men and those families want to make sure that this woman can conceive before they say, I do. And I thought, wow. Janet's husband left 7 years. Then he came back and God restored him. Man, that's something to celebrate. He came to his senses. He didn't go remarry. But he came back to Janet and he was restored. Janet waited 27 years to have this child. God didn't forget Janet. God didn't forget Ukeria. God hasn't forgotten you. He's not that kind of a God. I know God has awesome plans for these kids. I don't know what it is, but I know he has awesome plans for these kids. They're both girls. Just like God had awesome plans for Isaac and for Jacob and for Samuel and John the Baptist and many others, including our own kids. Amen? These kids that God has given to us, God has awesome plans for them. Now, you and I don't know what that is. Now, we have a responsibility to raise them up, to know God and to love God. But what they're going to become, God already knows. But get this, God picked you out to be their father and to be their mother. Remember, God doesn't make mistakes. But you got to wait on the Lord. Amen? Now I want to give you a bunch of scriptures to go study out. Take a picture of this. Okay? And I'll continue on Wednesday night. But church, we've got to wait on God. He's never let us down. And he's not going to start now. We're standing on a firm foundation. Amen? And so I encourage you to go deeper into this. I know a lot of people are missing from church this morning. Some are sick, some are in LA, some are on vacation, taking advantage of Labor Day weekend. Encourage them to go listen to this lesson. Because on Wednesday night, I'll continue. Okay? So encourage them to go listen to this lesson. It's on YouTube. Amen? But guys, we serve a loving God. We serve a good God. And here we are, September 1st. 2024, and we're still alive. Many did not wake up this morning. Like you've always heard me say, any day above ground is a good day. Because the day is going to come when God is going to take you and I to the other side. Amen? But even that, you have to wait for. You can't rush it. You can't rush God. I'll continue to talk about this Wednesday night. I hope this has been helpful. I'm going to ask the song leaders to come up. God bless you all.